Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Now on We Love Movies, it is time to take a look at two films which are playing in cinemas this weekend. In a minute, we'll look at Logan Lucky, the new film from Steven Soderbergh, starring Channing Tatum, Adam Driver and Daniel Craig. But first up is American Made, which reteams Tom Cruise with his Edge of Tomorrow director Doug Liman. Rory Cashin has seen both films and he joins me over the phone. Rory, American Made, the character that Tom Cruise plays in this film, people would have already seen this character, of course not played by Tom Cruise, but in Narcos, because it's based on a true story involving an informant for the CIA that also worked for the Medellin cartel in the 80s.
Yeah, it is interesting to see such a minor supporting character from that become the centre of attention here, and then the big, massive drug lords that we're so used to seeing front and centre on the Netflix show effectively put back into supporting character mode. And it is such a different slant on the story, because Narcos is, it's very well made and it's very professional, but it's very, 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 very heavy on the drama, whereas American Made never lets up. Like, it is 2 hours long, and you feel if this story had been put in the hands of, literally anyone else, they could have got two or three series out of these couple of years of Barry Seal's life. But instead, they try to compress everything down to 2 hours, and that is both a very good thing and, as we get to, a very not good thing.
Oh, no. Okay, Rory. Let's just take a section from the trailer to American Made.
Top of your class in the Civil Air Patrol, a pilot like you shouldn't be flying buses.
Welcome to Miami. Welcome to Bakersfield.
Haven't you ever wanted something more, Barry?
You should be serving your country.
Your CIA.
We need you to deliver stuff for us.
Oh, this is legal?
If you're doing it for the good guys.
Barry Seal's a goddamn genius!
You are an airline pilot, Barry. That's how you support this family.
This is gonna be good for us.
Is this all legal?
You trust me?
No.
A little bit there from the trailer to American Made, which is out in cinemas this weekend, starring Tom Cruise. Rory Cashin joins me over the phone to review the film. Rory, so I'm feeling there's good and there's bad. Now, Doug Liman, who is at the helm on this one, does he play a lot of it for laughs? Because from looking at the trailer, it almost looks like Blow, that old Johnny Depp movie, but with a far stronger comedic touch.
Yeah, the best description I can think of is if Guy Ritchie was American, okay, and was making Blow. That's how American Made comes across. Everything is very kinetic. The camera work is constantly moving. There's like a very kind of cheeky, chappy vibe going on with Tom Cruise's take on the character, because it's clear that he does love his family, and the central kind of point of everything is for him to make money so he can keep his family, rich. But everything around that is just a completely amoral person who's just willing to do whatever it takes to make that money. So Tom Cruise is always much better when he's a little bit shaded in, when he's just Tom Cruise action hero, like we've seen in the movie this year, just your eyes can start to glaze over. And we've seen him do stunts over and over and over again. So it is nice to see him actually be in a film again where he's acting and not just running.
Well, tell us a little bit about the character that he plays in American Made, as I mentioned, based on a true story, because he's a pilot and that's one of his strings to his bow. So is he constantly ferrying drugs back and forth for the Medellin cartel while also slipping the CIA information on the side?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, he starts off just as a regular pilot, and he has been slyly bringing in Cuban cigars on his trips, and Donald Gleason plays his kind of point of contact with the CIA, and he asks him to fly a new plane that will fly really, really low over potential drug cartels and take photographs, and then just bring those photographs back. And then one day he lands in Central America, and he's approached by the Narcos guys. They're like, well, since you're already down here and you're already, doing illegal stuff, how about you bring some of these drugs from here back up to our contacts back in America? And then the CIA catch wind of that, so they're like, okay, so how about in exchange for the drugs, we give you guns to give to the Contras who are fighting the war down in Central America? And it just gets more and more convoluted, but the more convoluted it gets, the more money Barry is making from it. So he doesn't stop for a second to ask questions until it gets to the point where he realizes he's so completely in over his head that the only thing he can do is like pull the cord and hope he doesn't die in a horrific plane crash.
Because this type of film, I would imagine, it when he starts making lots of money, he starts enjoying the high life, but then there's an awful lot of pressure then that comes with it. The character that Barry is himself, like, how does Tom Cruise play him? Is there almost a mischievous charm about him?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, he, I'm trying to think of like a good comparison. Like, it's kind of like if what was his name from Goodfellas? Ray Liotta's character.
Oh, Henry Hill.
Yeah, if it was him, but like if he was a genuinely nice person and didn't go around kicking people in the head to death and stuff.
Right.
If you can somehow just extract that bit, but he still has the wife. He's like, I don't know if we should be doing this, but then she gets blinded by the money and the wealth. And, you know, he is genuinely charismatic and he is a nice person, but, you know, there's just so much he's willing to do illegally that he probably definitely shouldn't be doing. But just because he's making some money out of it, he just doesn't really stop to ask questions. And it's a very interesting take on the get-rich-quick American dream, you know, thing that, like, people... I guess it's, like, another kind of... Walter White or whatever the character's name was from Ozark. Like, it's another white guy who's making money real quick from the drug industry, finds himself in over his head, but instead of it being a kind of nasty, violent drama, it's a very high energy, almost comedic drama.
Now, you mentioned from the offset as well, Rory, that because there's so much going on in this movie, that if it was to be developed as a television series, they could have got plenty of mileage out of it with various seasons. But then, because there's so much going on, that is also then one of the film's weaknesses. So just tell us a little bit more in regard to that.
The film was only 2 hours long, and when it was finished, I was like, I feel like they could have got another 45 minutes easy out of this, and there's no way it would have felt padded. Like, there's not a moment in the film where it's stopping to take a breath or to explain anything. If you've gone out for a toilet break and come back, it's a good chance Tom Cruise is in a completely different continent and is caught up with a completely different group of people for a completely different reason, and it's not going to stop and explain it to you why. So it's just this constant barrage of new people and new information and new reasons to make money, and it just keeps building and building and building, and it doesn't stop once.
Is that exhausting, Rory, trying to take that all on board after a while? Is it a case where I just give up here? I can't just take it all on board.
It's just, you just wish it would pay a bit more attention to, like, the characters and their reactions to it, because everything just feels a bit bullet pointy. Like, it's very visual, it's very kinetic, it's never boring, it's quite entertaining in places, but it just... It's very difficult to connect to anyone in the film because it's right. Just constantly moving on to the next point. We're never really sold on anyone's like emotional investment or emotional reaction to anything that's happening at any one time.
So all in all, Roy, just before we get scores, do you think this will connect with people? Because bearing in mind, Tom Cruise, he had a bit of a clunker on his hands there with The Mummy, which was just all over the place, really. It should have been so, so much better. Can this be a bit of an upturn, do you think, for him in 2017? Or is there much of an interest in it, American made?
It's difficult to gauge the interest because there should be interest because it's Tom Cruise playing a famous real-life drug runner from the director of Edge of Tomorrow, which is one of Tom's best films in like recent years, and Edge of Tomorrow is fantastic. But on the other hand, it's all it's doing is a slight variation on some stories we've heard like a million times before. It's by no means a bad film, but I do feel initially they were looking at it as potentially being Oscar bait, and then when the film was turned in, they were like, no, let's just put it out in August and hopefully we can just make our money back.
Okay, Rory, out of 10.
A solid 6, I think. It's perfectly fine, perfectly entertaining. It's just a bit overbearing at times.
Okay, so that is American Made, which is out in cinemas this weekend. Up next, we're going to take a look at Academy Award-winning director Steven Soderbergh, his new movie. It's a heist comedy. It's called Logan Lucky. It stars Channing Tatum and Adam Driver as brothers who have this audacious plan in order to rip off this motor speedway competition in North Carolina. But they need the help of a guy by the name of Joe Bang, who's played by Daniel Craig. We'll get more into the story in just a moment. But first, here's a little bit from the trailer to Logan Lucky.
Charlotte Motor Speedway. I know how they move the money.
The only guy who knows anything about blowing up real bank vaults is Joe Bang.
I am incarcerated.
Yeah, we got a plan to get you out.
Coca-Cola 600 is the biggest race of the year.
We need a computer whiz.
I know everything there is to know about computers, okay? All the Twitters, I know them.
Sorry, I just gave a very, very brief overview there of the story to Logan Lucky. Just give us a bit more detail of what's going on.
Yeah, like on top of all that, you've got the two brothers, Tatum and Driver, and they believe that they've been cursed with a family Logan curse, it's called. Tatum has a bit of a limp and Adam Driver is missing an arm for reasons that you get into over the course of the film. And just kind of a spur of the moment decision, Tatum's like, do you know what? We're going to rob the local NASCAR Speedway. And I know exactly how to do it. Then he enlists his brother and he gets, as you said, Joe Bang, who they have to break out of prison into the rally and then back into prison all in the space of one day. So it's actually a bank heist / prison break film and then a return into prison film. There's a lot going on. And for the central hour, it is really, 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 really good. Like, it's so, so entertaining seeing all these people interact. Like, we barely touched the tip of the iceberg for the actual cast, because you also got, like, Seth MacFarlane and Katie Holmes and Sebastian Stan and what's that woman who won loads of Oscars for Million Dollar Baby and stuff?
Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank is in there. There's so many famous faces. I guess everyone's just, like, really joyed to be a part of this Soderbergh film that they're like, what do you want me to do? Sudden accent for 2 minutes of screen time? That's fine. I'm there. No problem. And everyone just, like, is clearly having a lot of fun making it. But it kind of reminded me a little bit of Ocean's 11, where you start to question whether or not they had more fun making it than we are having watching it. The first 20 minutes are a bit of a mess because you're never entirely sure why the heist has kicked off. And then the last, I'd say 20 minutes or half an hour, the film has no idea how to end, and it just kind of trundles along into this very odd ending that, like, didn't entirely sit well with me or make a huge amount of sense.
Right.
I kind of understood it, but it felt like Logan Lucky had started, and then they showed us the first 20 minutes of Logan Lucky 2 and then ended that.
I've heard so many mixed reports on this, Rory, that, you know, you've got a great premise there, and it just sounds like they were writing the script as they were going along and hoping I would figure out the ending. Like, how do you think this is going to sit on Soderbergh's CV?
I don't know, really. Like, it's because it feels like he's done the heist movie a lot. You kind of think, because he's so in love with the idea of tackling different genres, especially recently. Like, I really, really enjoyed Side Effects. I really, really enjoyed Behind the Candelabra. So when he's doing stuff that he hasn't done before, even Contagion, I thought, had some was an interesting take on a virusy kind of horror movie, like a very grounded take. And it was very unique. It was very Soderbergh. He was tackling something we've seen before, but in a way that he would do it.
Yeah.
So to see him do another heist movie just feels a little bit safe.
Yeah.
And the only like really exceptional difference is the setting. Mm-hmm. I would say is the fact that it's set in these southern states. It's the only thing that makes it stand out from, you know, his Ocean films.
Rory, so all in all, it sounds like it's a bit of a disappointment. Had a lot of promise, but it just seems a bit messy. Out of 10?
Yeah, it's 7, I think.
Okay.
There is a lot of fun to be had. It is very, very entertaining. The actors are really, really having so much fun that, like, half the time you're just jealous of the amount of fun they're having, and half the time, you know, you're just really enjoying them on the screen. But there is just some niggly issues where you're like, it's not quite as good as it could have been.
Oh, it's so disappointing. Rory Cashin, thank you so much. You're going to be back a little later on as we'll be taking a look at Kathryn Bigelow's new film. It's called Detroit. It's a smacks of this could be a potential film when it comes to the award season. Until then, Rory, we'll talk to you in a little bit.
We love movies with Gordon Hayden.
Now, last week, Daniel Craig announced on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert that he was finishing up as James Bond. He has one more movie in him, and then that is it. Here's what he had to say.
Now, you've
been reported to have accepted the role of James Bond again in the New York Times. Back in July, they said that you are going to be the next James Bond. And people have been asking about it all day.
Yes, they have. I have. I've been doing interviews.
Yeah.
I've been quite cagey about it. I've been doing interviews all day, and people have been asking me, and I think I've been rather coy. But I kind of felt like, you know, sort of, if I was going to sort of speak the truth, I should speak the truth to you. And you should.
Daniel Craig, we could use some good news here. Daniel Craig, will you return as James Bond?
Yes.
So there's the big announcement from Daniel Craig that he will be Bond for one more movie, but you know the producers are hard at work trying to think of, well, who could potentially then take over? Is there anyone out there at the moment that deserves to be James Bond? Because Daniel Craig, for the most part, has been an excellent James Bond. So do they want to continue in the same fashion, that real tough, mean, nasty type of Bond? Or do they want to go with someone a bit more debonair, like the Roger Moore of old? What's the best way to play this new Bond? Well, joining me now to have a chat about it is Andy McCarroll. Andy, it was only off air last week when we were doing We Love Movies. We were chatting away about the potential for the new 007. And look, there's a great list of actors that are out there to play Bond, but sometimes it's always a bit of an unlikely choice that gets to play Bond. Not always the biggest name that's out there, because let's bear in mind, Daniel Craig, it wasn't like he was a household name. It really was Layer Cake that helped him really bring him up into prominence when it came to the Bond producers. Just looking at potential actors there at the moment, have you managed to narrow it down? Is there a few there that you think, they'd be perfect?
There's no one that really jumps out. Like, Idris Elba would have been my choice a while ago, but I think he's gone too old as well. You're looking at whoever's taking over Bond now is going to do at least the next three films. So you kind of need someone, like you said, like Craig was, kind of on the cusp of being famous, but not quite there yet.
Mm.
There's names like Tom Hardy and Michael Fassbender being thrown around. I think they're kind of too big to kind of commit to, you know, the next 10 years of their career just playing Bond. And I think they kind of would have learned the lessons from Daniel Craig. Like, outside of James Bond, he's had a string of flops, and I think that's played a big part in why he's come back to do the next one. I think someone like Dan Stevens, I think, would be perfect. He was the Beast in the recent Beauty and the Beast remake, and he played as an action film called The Guest. He was absolutely brilliant in. And I think he's got that right sense of, you know, he's kind of good-looking, charming, but would absolutely kick the Christ out of you.
I'm glad you said him, Andy, because we've always flown the flag for good old Dan Stevens on this show. We have thought, like, he would fit that mould of actors that have just been nicely simmering away, haven't crossed over to the point where everyone knows their name. So essentially you can buy into them as James Bond, like you don't see the movie star. I think that is the worry I'd have with Tom Hardy, is that you see him quicker than you see Bond. And I also am hoping that Christopher Nolan directs the brand new James. Well, obviously we got one more James Bond movie with Daniel Craig, which Christopher Nolan's unavailable for, because he has said himself that he would only be interested in helming a 007 flick if he gets the chance to reboot it and really bring something new to it. And he says he has an idea of how he would do that, which sounds absolutely tantalizing. So the fact that we could get a new Bond with Christopher Nolan would be incredible. So we've got your pick, Dan Stevens. I'm going to throw Aidan Turner in there from an Irish perspective, who has, again, like Dan Stevens, been building his way, and he's probably best known at the moment for playing Poldark in the BBC series. How do you think he might go down, Andy?
I think he'd be an interesting choice. And we have previous form, you know, Pierce Brosnan was the Irish Bond. I think for him as well, if you're signing up, he's kind of just like very unknown. I think if he signs up to Bond, he's going to have to acknowledge the fact this is his career. Mm. Like, if you look at people like Pierce Brosnan, Daniel Craig, none of them ever recovered from playing Bond. And I think if Aidan Turner has any ambitions to be like an actor outside of Bond, I don't think he should take it. But if he's kind of content with, you know, for the rest of my career, I'm going to be James Bond, you know, absolutely go for it.
Yeah, it's true, because it's a role that is very, very hard to shake off. And you touched upon it there with Pierce Brosnan and also with Daniel Craig, because I thought when David Fincher held the US adaptation of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, finally Daniel Craig would have another series on his CV that would help him, you know, just, you know, move away from Bond. And of course, that film just didn't do the business that they hoped. And he's been sort of treading water outside of Bond. Like, the Cowboys and Aliens was a disaster. And I do, and is just, is that because people just can't see you other than James Bond?
I think it is. And I think he has a presence, Daniel Craig, that he is a good actor, but I don't think he's got that movie star charisma outside of the role. I think the reboot of Bond suits him perfectly. And we've done things like the comic relief sketch where he showed, you know, he's got a good comedic side to him as well. So I think the trick to kind of juggling a franchise like that, like Christopher Nolan done it perfectly with the Batman films, where he's like, he'd make Batman and then go off and make The Prestige, and like Christian Bale would join him on that. Mm-hmm. You need to do something as far away from what you're known for to kind of keep the public interested outside of, you know, the main role that you're known for. Like, I'd like to see Daniel Craig do a kind of a silly comedy. I know he's got Logan Lucky coming up soon. Maybe that will be the one that kind of makes people see him in a different light, but I'm not sure. I think, you know, was he four bonds deep now, or three bonds deep now?
Four bonds, yeah.
Maybe it's the past the point of no return for how the public perceives Daniel Craig as anything other than James Bond.
And finally, Andy, just staying with Daniel Craig, I'm actually surprised the Bond producers have asked him back for one more Bond, bearing in mind the way Spectre finished. It just felt as if that was the nice swan song. Everything that had happened in the films previous had come to some natural conclusion. It almost paved the way for a new Bond. So it just goes to show, by bringing Craig back, they still haven't found the right guy for the gig. And they did that with Roger Moore. He stayed on for two Bonds that he really maybe shouldn't have. And that was purely because they couldn't find anyone else out there. So we'll have a while yet before another 007 is announced. But for now, Andy McCarroll, thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks, Gordon.
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
And that is it for part one of We Love Movies. But coming up in part two, we'll be taking a look back at Superbad. Believe it or not, it's 10 years old. I know, I can't believe it. That time has absolutely flown by. And we'll be reviewing Detroit, the new film from Kathryn Bigelow with Rory Cashin. That's all to come very shortly on We Love Movies.